Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. I hope this conversation will serve you on your own path of living life fully and courageously. The inner game is our relationship to our purpose, to the contribution we want to be in bringing forth a more beautiful world. These are conversations with people who are up to something evolutionary in their lives, and an opportunity to hear about how these people grow personally and how that strengthens their organizations and businesses to make a bigger difference. Our guest today is Lynette Marie Hanthorn, a leader of the local food movement. She is the wife of Michael Brownlee, who you might remember, our guest on The Inner Game last month. Because of the magnitude of the importance of this issue, localizing our food supply, I thought it would be a rich opportunity to hear Lynette's perspective and to hear about her own journey as an evolutionary catalyst. So welcome, Lynette.
Thank you, Gwen. It's great to be here.
It's such a treat to get to interview both of you back to back.
Thanks.
We talked a bit about what it means to be an evolutionary catalyst last month, but maybe say a little bit about what that means to you.
Well, to be an evolutionary catalyst is uniting oneself, connecting oneself with that evolutionary force that is moving through all life because it's taking us somewhere. And we don't necessarily know where it might be taking us. We might have an inkling, but we know that it's for the good of all life.
You've talked a bit about developing yourself as an evolutionary catalyst and how we do that individually. What does that look like? How can we be about the business of developing ourselves as evolutionary catalysts?
Well, it's really important to pay attention of where you have been in life and the movement of your life. And at the same time, watch the movement of the world. And some places it intersects. And those are like aha moments of clarifying direction, further direction. And it's also, from my perspective, looking for the meaning of what one's life is all about. Because as evolutionary catalysts, we're here at this time to really move life in a particular direction. I'm repeating myself, but that direction is what will take us even deeper internally as well as externally.
In our conversations in the past, you've talked about that the external information and measurement we get of success and what we should be doing with our lives is so noisy and so strong that sometimes it's hard to hear our own inner guidance. How have you strengthened that, trusting your intuition or that evolutionary speaker within you?
Well, if people can find places where they can be still, go into the stillness within, and it also helps to be very quiet externally. There are riches inside of you. There is a deeper conversation, although it's very quiet, but you have to listen closely. And there is a voice, not necessarily like how we're speaking right now, Gwen,
right,
but it's like there's something there that wants you to know something, and you have to listen for it. And so how I do it is I take time to meditate daily and see if there's anything that I need to know. something that needs my attention. And I have to be very quiet to get a sense of that, of what that might be.
On my own path, and I know with others, there's a challenge to trusting that information, that voice as it comes through. You know, is it my ego? Is it, you know, is it just, you know, noise? You know, is it my mother speaking to me?
Uh-huh, right.
And developing the trust necessary to actually take action on that voice seems to be a whole deeper level of practice. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Well, it really helps to ask questions internally. You know, is this my mother's voice?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really practiced in being with that stillness, you'll just know it, that, that's something I can set aside for right now. Is there anything else that I need to know? There were just so many things that brought me to the place where I just knew that what I was hearing was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I had to act on, even to the place of hearing a loud voice that said to me, leave your job. Leave your marriage.
Mm.
I mean, it was like almost a command.
Right.
And it shook me. It just shook me. And I knew I had to act on it.
Maybe give us a taste of what some of those turning points were in your background and what has brought you to the work that you're doing now.
Okay. Well, I think it's probably helpful to talk about my environment in terms of my childhood, living on a farm, a dairy farm in Iowa, and having five brothers and a sister, my parents, and a maternal grandmother. I spent much time with my maternal grandmother, being influenced by her biodynamic training and her sharing that with me. I was always concerned about the environment, mostly because I experienced pesticide poisoning. The farm went from biodynamic, this is unusual, biodynamic farming to...
Which is sort of a deeper kind of organic,
yes,
distinction.
Yes. And then you listen to, you plant things according to the moon, the planets.
Right.
You're paying attention to nature,
right,
and life. And we moved from that to doing, applying pesticides and herbicides, and I experienced pesticide poisoning. So I had a very ill childhood. Later in my childhood, especially during my teen years and into my 20s, mm-hmm, and even into my 30s, I was still struggling with pesticide poisoning that caused nerve damage. So I found myself paying attention to people like Paul Ehrlich when he wrote the book The Population Bomb back, mm-hmm, in the 70s. And I decided I had to participate, not have any children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people made that choice at that time, didn't they?
They
it
did.
It became quite a strong awareness.
Right. I ended up working with a community group in Iowa, in Ames, Iowa, and developing a nonprofit working on community corrections associated with volunteers and probation, learning about mediation, mm-hmm, through the Night Prosecutors Program out of Cincinnati, Ohio. In other words, always looking at things about how to resolve issues within the person, but also between people or among groups.
Right.
It was all about bringing people together.
Mm-hmm.
I work closely with the Iowa Peace Institute, and through that association did traveling to the United Kingdom, to Germany, Bulgaria, Nigeria, and sharing mediation skills, demonstrating mediation skills.
I like how you call part of this work conflict transformation.
Yes.
Instead of conflict resolution necessarily, conflict transformation.
Yes.
What's the greatest possibility of conflict transformation?
Of seeing things with the same eyes. Being able to come together and see what needs to occur that will benefit everyone.
By the all those involved in whatever
That's
it is.
That's right.
Right.
Mm. By everyone involved.
That's beautiful.
And getting a commitment of not only inner personal resources, but also the group's resources. And seeing that the future relies on us working together. When that revelation happens with people, there's such a joy that comes through.
I agree. This is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. My guest today is Lynette Marie Hanthorn, and we're talking about the significance of the local food movement to the evolution of humanity. I think that for a long time now, local food has been something that people have been aware of, know that it makes sense for health reasons, and it certainly just feels like a good idea to be growing food around us. Certainly, you know, there's so many studies out of, you know, how putting our hands in the dirt, you know, is it healing and and centering thing for us. But there's a greater awareness that you and Michael have distinguished that now make local food and the localization of our food production non-negotiable to our evolution in a way. And I'd love to just hear about that, how that awareness occurred.
I learned how to do my own food. In fact, I began cooking for the family. And I really enjoyed it. And I found that the food that I most valued was something that I sourced myself, and I needed to know where it came from. So this is natural for me. What's occurred in over time, particularly when Michael have looking at the expanse of what's going on in the world, where we're seeing resource depletion and the lack of fresh water, the travels that I've done to see mountaintop removal, just recognizing what I would see, it's almost the wounding of the earth, that just like each human life, our earth has a role. I'm not exactly sure what that role is, but one thing I know is we need to take care of the earth. And one way that we do that is when we look out in terms of the quality of the foods that we are eating, especially through the industrialized processing, a lot of the nutrients are diminished. So if we do grow our own, take care of what we're growing, share with others who we know who are growing our food, the different farms in our region, support them, what happens is we can get the most nutrients for our bodies. In other words, there's just this linkage, a line of action that needs to occur to really support our bodies, our minds, our spirit. We can do it through food.
Right. Yeah. And I'm thinking of how when you take in the honey from local bees, it helps you develop immunity to allergies in your local area.
That's one
small example of how all of life around us conspires for our well-being. But only if we give ourselves to it, only if we honor it. You know, and there's a deeper part to this, of course, that we were talking about earlier, you know, and an awareness had come to me that we're in a time in our evolutionary process that is about cocoon building. In order to become butterflies, in order to take that huge leap in our own evolution to something incredibly beautiful, it's going to require that we create a cocoon that will make that possible. And I'd love for you to talk about that in terms of local food and the awarenesses that you share about it.
And to recognize that our experiences, both positive and negative, you know, the mistakes that we make are a resource for not making those mistakes in the future. That's part of building that cocoon. Recognize that we're all here to serve and contribute because each of us carries a gift. We have to pay attention and look. Where is that moving us? So that as our cocoon develops, as our life develops and our relationships strengthen and beautify, that when that cocoon is willing to open, we can actually unpack that gift and give it to the world in need.
Mm. You know,
but we have to pay attention.
Yeah. We have to have that time of extreme listening and trust.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about what happens to the caterpillar inside that cocoon, that it totally turns into jelly.
That's right.
Before it can reorganize. You know, but there's also something that I'm thinking about in terms of local food systems. They have the potential to be very, in a very real way, the cocoon that protects us, that allows for our nourishing during this time of the world as we know it, in many ways, dissolving before our eyes, which we see happening already with climate impacts. So structures, you know, social structures and even physical structures in our world dissolving, so that we're needing this cocoon of protection and nourishment so that we can survive through that to that next possibility of evolution. But we can't do that without that protection and nourishment.
That is so true, Gwen. And I'm looking at food as our connection to life. I consider food very sacred, very alive. It symbolizes having healthy, nutrient-dense food that nourishes us, that brings us together in relationship. And that relationship strengthens us individually, and strengthens us communally, where we share what we grow, mm-hmm. Well, actually, everyone should be growing something just to experience, you know, the sprouting of the seed and the life that emerges, the plant that comes from that, or caring for an animal that also helps the soil, that strengthens the nutrition of the soil.
Right.
In other words, everything is linked together. We create in relationship. We are nourished in relationship. What we take in as food, what we eat as food, but also what we share through our thoughts and our minds and our conversations. That is strengthening. So the food gives us that ability to be strong and to be resilient, because as the times change, we need to be creative. We need to know when to move, when not to move, and where to move, to recognize who we are in that moment. Well, we learn from nature.
That's what I was going to say. It feels like our relationship with nature. I know for me, it's deeply humbling. It allows me to access a kind of vulnerability, as well as a deep honoring. That feels like it's at the center of the kind of relationships that will really be evolutionary.
Well, we see that life is constantly adapting. I mean, plants adapt. We know that that's possible. So when we see life adapting, we recognize what it means to be alive, that we adjust, we move. So we're learning. We're learning. And we can actually love that earth and care for it. And now we need to restore Earth's balance. Because, as you know, with the changing climate, things are not in balance. And when we look at each other, it's really important for us to love humanity. Can we unite? Can we collaborate? Can we be with each other in a loving way? Can we embrace our evolutionary direction into adulthood? Can we grow up where we can love one another and be with each other? Because those relationships, just like eating food, they nurture us.
Absolutely.
Food is that symbol of relationship. We can grow things together. We can live together. We can contribute together.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much, Lynette Marie. It's just a pleasure to get to go into this depth of conversation with you. I hope we'll get another chance on The Inner Game to take this further. So thanks again for all of you listening.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening today and the listening audience. If you would like to participate more actively in this conversation, if you have a question for Lynette Marie or for me, please join the Facebook page at The Inner Game. And the page acts as a forum for taking these conversations offline. So thanks so much to everyone, and we'll see you next time on The Inner Game.
Clouds are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high, oceans gray, winds are restless, trees are patient, you, my child, far away. waves are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze, storms are raging, atoms whirling, and you, my child, are away. To see them, and you, my child, are away.